I remember the day I signed my lease and looked out at the small, gray concrete slab of my balcony. To most people, it was just a place to dry laundry or store a bike. To me, it looked like a missed opportunity for food security. There is a common myth that you need a creage to be a homesteader, but self-reliance is a mindset, not a zip code. When you rent, you face unique hurdles like weight limits, lease restrictions, and the reality that one day you will have to pack it all up. I realized that if I could master the art of the portable patio garden, I could take my land with me wherever I went. This guide is about more than just pots and soil. It is about claiming your capability, even when you do not own the ground beneath your feet. Let's look at how to build a productive, safe, and entirely mobile homestead on your rental patio. Chapter 1. The Mobile Foundation. I stood on my balcony with a tape measure and a heavy sense of responsibility. Before a single seed hits the dirt, a renter has to look at their space through the eyes of both an engineer and a lawyer. When you own your land, you can dig as deep as you want. When you rent, your ground is a structural element shared with the neighbors below you. The first thing I did was check my lease. Most people skip this, but in the world of patio homesteading, the lease is your boundary fence. I looked for specific language regarding weight loads or balcony use. A gallon of wet soil can weigh up to 12 pounds. If you plan on lining your balcony with 10-gallon pots, you are adding hundreds of pounds to a structure that might only be rated for a few people. I made it a point to distribute my heavier pots along the structural beams or the building's edge rather than clustering them in the center of the deck. This is why it matters. Structural integrity is not just about your security deposit, it is about the safety of everyone in the building. A responsible homesteader respects the limits of their environment. Once I understood the weight, I turned to the light. I spent a full Saturday mapping the sun. I checked the balcony at 8 a.m., noon, and 4 p.m. I realized that while I had full sun in July, the high-rise next door would block it entirely by September. This light mapping dictated what I would grow. If you have less than 6 hours of direct light, you are growing greens and herbs. If you have eight or more, you can go for the heavy hitters like tomatoes or peppers. Then came the choice of the growing medium. I learned early on that you never ever use garden soil or topsoil in a container. It is too dense, it doesn't drain, and it is incredibly heavy. Instead, I opted for a high-quality soilless potting mix. These are usually made of peat moss, coconut coir, and perlite. This is the why behind the success of a patio garden. Soilless mixes provide the aeration that container roots crave. Because a pot is a closed system, the roots cannot travel to find air or water. The soil has to do all the work for them. I chose a mix with added vermiculite to help hold moisture, which is critical when the summer wind starts whipping through a third-story railing. I also had to consider the containers themselves. For a renter, weight is the enemy, and mobility is the friend. I moved away from heavy ceramic or terracotta. While they are beautiful, they are a nightmare to move, and they crack in the frost. I shifted to fabric grow bags and high-density plastic. Fabric bags are a revelation for the patio homesteader. They air-prune the roots, preventing the plants from becoming root-bound and stunted. More importantly, when the season is over or the lease is up, you can empty the soil, wash the bags, and fold them into a shoebox. Safety also means thinking about drainage. I've seen many renters get into trouble because they let dirty, fertilized water pour off their balcony and onto the neighbor's white patio furniture below. I invested in deep saucers for every single pot. This isn't just about being a good neighbor, it's about protecting the building. Constant moisture on a wooden deck leads to rot, and on concrete, it can cause spalling. By using saucers, I keep the water where it belongs, with the plants. The final part of my foundation was checking local codes. In some cities, there are fire codes that prohibit certain types of materials or require a clear path to a fire escape. I made sure my layout didn't block my exit. A garden should be a source of life, not a hazard in an emergency. Setting the foundation this way, with a focus on weight, light, drainage, and legality, meant that I could garden with peace of mind. I wasn't just playing in the dirt. I was building a professional, compliant, and highly efficient food production system. Building a homestead on a patio requires a different kind of strength, the strength of careful planning and the discipline of working within boundaries. Chapter 2. The Portable Infrastructure. I looked at my empty pots and realized that my biggest challenge wasn't growing the plants, it was managing them. On a patio, space is your most expensive resource. To be a successful renter homesteader, you have to think vertically and mechanically. The first piece of infrastructure I swear by is the rolling saucer. I put every pot over 5 gallons on a heavy-duty dolly. Why? Because the sun moves. In the early spring, the sun is low and hits the back of my patio. By midsummer, it's directly overhead. By having my garden on wheels, I can chase the sun without straining my back or damaging the floor. This mobility also allows me to quickly clear the deck if the landlord needs to come by for a railing inspection or if a major storm is rolling in. Capability means being able to adapt to your environment in real time. Next, I had to solve the small space dilemma. If I only grew in pots on the floor, I'd have enough lettuce for one salad a week. To truly supplement my grocery bill, I had to go up. But as a renter, I can't bolt a trellis into the siding or the brick. I had to get creative with non-invasive verticality. I used A-frame trellises made of bamboo that sit inside the pots themselves. I also utilized tension rods and over-the-rail planters that use gravity rather than hardware. One of my favorite hacks for the patio is the self-watering reservoir. Because containers are exposed to the wind on all sides, they dry out twice as fast as an in-ground garden. In the height of August, a tomato plant can wilt in 4 hours. I created wicking systems using recycled soda bottles buried upside down in the soil or by using specialized SIP, sub-irrigated planter inserts. This why is simple. Consistency is the key to production. If your soil moisture swings from desert to monsoon, your fruit will crack and your plants will stress. A reservoir system acts as a buffer, giving the plants a steady drink while I'm away at work. I also had to think about the tools of the trade. A homesteader on a farm has a shed. A homesteader on a patio has a decorative trunk. I chose a weatherproof bench that doubles as storage. Inside, I keep my essentials, a collapsible watering can, a small bag of organic fertilizer, and my pruning shears. This keeps the patio looking like a living space rather than a construction site. Keeping things tidy is part of being a respectful tenant. It proves that a garden can be an asset to a property, not a mess. For my heavy feeders like zucchini and tomatoes, I implemented a stepped nutrition plan. In a small pot, the nutrients in the soilless mix are gone in about 6 weeks. I use a liquid seaweed fertilizer every 2 weeks. Because I can't build a large compost pile, I use a bokashi bucket, a small fermented composting system that fits under the kitchen sink. This allows me to turn my kitchen scraps into a nutrient-dense tea that I can feed directly to my patio pots. It's a closed-loop system that fits in a kitchen cabinet. The stake in all of this is efficiency. Can you actually grow enough to matter? When I harvested my first 5 pounds of patio prize tomatoes and a gallon of fresh basil from a space the size of a walk-in closet, I had my answer. By using vertical space and consistent watering, I was outproducing neighbors who had full backyards but half the discipline. Infrastructure isn't just about the pots, it's about the systems that keep those pots thriving without taking over your life. Chapter 3. The Stewardship Cycle. I sat among my thriving greens and realized that the true test of a homesteader isn't how the garden starts, but how it finishes. Living in a rental means your garden is seasonal, by definition, even if you stay for years. You are a steward of this small patch of concrete, and that stewardship requires a cycle of constant renewal and a plan for the clean exit. The first part of the cycle is succession planting. In a small space, you cannot afford to have a pot sitting out a month. As soon as my spring radishes are pulled, I have a pepper transplant ready to take its place. When the summer heat finally claims the peas, the kale seeds are going in. This constant rotation ensures that my 50 square feet are working for me 365 days a year. The why behind this is food density. We aren't just gardening for a hobby. We are gardening to maximize the yield per square inch. Pest management in a patio setting is its own beast. You don't get the same natural predators that an open field does. If aphids find your balcony, they think they've found an all-you-can-eat buffet with no exits. I've learned to be a hands-on defender. Every morning, I do a leaf turn check. I look for eggs, scales, and the first signs of powdery mildew. Because my space is small, I don't need heavy chemicals. A simple spray of neem oil or a blast from a spray bottle is usually enough. Being proactive prevents a small infestation from becoming a total crop failure. Then comes the mid-season audit. Around July, I check my soil levels. Soilless mix tends to settle and disappear as the organic matter breaks down. I top off my pots with a fresh layer of compost or worm castings. This top dressing acts like a slow-release vitamin for the plants during their most demanding growth phase. I also check my drainage saucers. Stagnant water in a saucer is a breeding ground for mosquitoes, which will quickly turn your neighbors against your gardening efforts. I keep them clean and dry. As the season winds down, I start my decommissioning plan. For a renter, this is the most important part of the field guide. You must be able to return your patio to its original state within 24 hours. I start by harvesting out the largest plants. I don't leave dead stalks in pots over the winter. It looks neglected and can harbor pests. For the pots I'm keeping through the winter, like my perennial rosemary or lavender, I move them against the warm wall of the apartment. I use biodegradable fleece or frost blankets to wrap them. For the annual pots, I follow the empty clean store rule. I compost the spent soil if I have a local drop-off, or I bag it up for next year. I scrub the pots with a mild vinegar solution to kill any lingering pathogens. This is why it matters. Starting next year with clean pots means you won't be fighting the same diseases you had this year. The clean exit also means checking the floor. I use a deck cleaner to remove any rings left by the saucers. My goal is to leave no trace that a garden was ever there, other than perhaps a lingering scent of mint in the air. This level of care ensures that I get my security deposit back and that the next tenant doesn't inherit a mess. Self-reliance on a patio is about the rhythm of the seasons and the respect for the space you occupy. It's about knowing that even if you move tomorrow, you have the skills, the seeds, and the portable systems to start again in the next place. You aren't just a renter. You are a grower who happens to be mobile. Your garden is not defined by the dirt in the ground, but by the wisdom in your hands and the resilience of your spirit.